Good morning. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles for the scripture I'm reading today, it will be from Luke 2, from 21 to 40. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to the people of Israel, people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and praying night and day. And coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Do we have sound? We have sound. And the Lord said, let there be sound. As clear as it may seem, sometimes we forget that Jesus was born a Jew into a very Jewish family that kept, as best they could, the Jewish laws. So in our attempting to universalize Jesus, we must not make the mistake of isolating him from his cultural context. As the Apostle Paul observes in Galatians 4:4-5, but when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. In this week's passage, we see 3 Jewish ceremonies. Circumcision, which was performed on the 8th day for all male children, purification from childbirth for Jewish women 40 days after a son's birth, and consecration of the firstborn son in recognition that the firstborn son belongs to the Lord. We'll briefly look at these, but our main focus will be on the consecration and Simeon and Anna and their devotion to the Lord, their sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's voice, and the words of Simeon's prophecy. There we go. Nope. That's all right. We'll stay right there. Jesus' circumcision and naming, Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision was on the 8th day after birth, and it represented placing the sign of the covenant upon each male child who became part of the nation, and at that time their name was given. In our passage, Jesus is given his name. And Luke notes that he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. His name Jesus, Hebrew Yeshua, means salvation. Now we'll look at Mary's purification after childbirth. The text refers to Mary's purification from childbirth in verses 22 and 24. So we're going to skip for the moment verse 23, which referred to Jesus' presentation. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what was said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. After childbirth, mothers were considered ceremonially unclean for a period of time. The law reads in Leviticus 12, 2 through 6 and verse 8, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. When the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. If she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring 2 doves or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her, and she will be clean. The sacrifice for her cleansing was to be offered on the 40th day. Now, Bethlehem's only about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, so Mary and Joseph came to the temple for the 2 ceremonies, Mary's purification and the presentation of her firstborn. And because of their poverty, Mary brought a pair of young pigeons or doves as her sacrifice, and it was probably all the family could afford. The 3rd ceremony mentioned in the passage is the redemption of the firstborn. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. To understand this ceremony, I think we need a little background. The early Hebrews believed that the firstborn male of humans and animals belonged to God. In Exodus 13, 1 and 2, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. They were consecrated or holy to God. In verse 23, the Greek adjective hagios, pertaining to being dedicated or consecrated to the service of God, meant being dedicated to God, and it was a holy and sacred honor. It was reserved for God and God's service, and the firstborn animals were sacrificed. In the Exodus, the firstborn sons of Egypt were killed due to Pharaoh's stubborn refusal to let the Israelites go. But the firstborn of the people of Israel were passed over because of the Passover sacrifice made by each family. The Lord also said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites, place of the first male offering of every Israelite woman. The Levites are mine, for all the firstborn are mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn in Israel, whether man or animal, they are mine. I am the Lord. Numbers 3:11 through 13. Now the ceremony consisted of a formal presentation of the child to the priest, accompanied by two short benedictions. The first one for the law of redemption, the other for the gift of the firstborn son, after which the redemption money was paid. Next, the story moves to Simeon and Anna, who the Holy Spirit has caused to be in the temple at this time, and both of them are righteous, God-fearing people whom God has sent as witnesses. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The picture is not what I visualize. It's just a picture. We have no scriptural basis for that picture. But for some reason, I have always visualized Simeon holding the child up to God and pronouncing his blessing. Now, Simeon is a Hebrew name, and it's similar to the Greek-sounding name Simon, and sometimes substituted. The name means hearing or he who hears. Now, in the Greek, Simeon is closer to the God receiver. And we learn several things about Simeon. He is righteous or just, indicating he lived upright with very high standards. He is devout or godly, pious, reverent. It is obvious that he was well-versed in the scriptures. And the third thing we learn is the Holy Spirit rests upon him. Many times in the Old Testament, prophets would have the Holy Spirit come upon them to accomplish a specific task. It was a special dispensation. And that was the case because Pentecost had not yet come, where the Holy Spirit would dwell permanently within the Christian. He was waiting for the Holy Spirit's promise. Simeon had been anticipating this day in the temple for some time. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had been eagerly expecting to see the Messiah. But what is the consolation of Israel? Consolation is the Greek noun paraklesios, comfort, consolation. The Holy Spirit is referred to in the Gospel of John as the paraclete, the mediator, the intercessor, the helper. In our passage, Simeon is eagerly looking forward to the time when occupied, weary Jerusalem receives her comfort and relief from the Lord, which was popularly expected to be brought about by the Messiah. The Holy Spirit had made Simeon a promise. Luke employs the word revealed. He had been given a divine message. The message to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. The phrase the Lord's Christ means the Messiah which was promised to be sent or provided by the Lord. Today's the day. The Holy Spirit nudges Simeon, and Simeon is hearing and obeying the voice of the Spirit. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, And when the parents brought him in, brought him the Christ child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now, if you've ever witnessed an answer to prayer, and I think most of us have, then you know something of the joy that was welling up inside Simeon. So Simeon begins his prophetic praise. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things that were spoken of him. Now Simeon's prophecy is called a Nunc Dimittis. After the first two words of the prophecy in Latin, which means, now you dismiss. First, Simeon addresses God as Lord. In verse 29, he talks about the one who has control and authority. The absolute sovereign God has kept his promise to Simeon, who now asks the Lord to let him die in peace. In the prophetic phrase that follows, the child Jesus is equated with your salvation. In verse 30, it's not accidental that Jesus' name in Hebrew, Yeshua, is a form of the word Joshua, which means literally salvation. So Simeon looks on the child named Salvation and says, my eyes have seen your salvation. I mean, I think it's divinely remarkable that Simeon sees Jesus' salvation as extending to all peoples, Gentiles and Jews alike. I mean, that's the same message the angel spoke to the shepherd on Christmas night. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all peoples, Luke 2:10. The concept of Messiah and Israel being a light to the Gentiles was first developed by the prophet Isaiah, especially in Isaiah 49:6. I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Notice how Joseph in this passage is referred to as the child's father, especially in 2:33. Now, that's not intended to refute the virgin birth that was related in chapter 1, but it reflects the way Joseph would have been legally understood by society in relation to Jesus. And then there was Simeon's prophecy to Mary. In verse 34, it begins, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the hearts of many may be revealed. Simeon now blesses the Holy Family and prophesies that Jesus would have a paradoxical effect on Israel. Some would fall because of him, and others would rise. In Isaiah 8:14 and 15, it states, he will be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, snared and taken. In Malachi 4:2 it says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow like stall-fed calves. With Jesus, there was going to be no neutral ground. People would either joyfully accept him or totally reject him. As Jesus' mother, Mary would be grieved by the widespread rejection he was going to face, as it still is to this day. This was the first note of sorrow in Luke's gospel. Now, Simeon's prophecy to Mary has four elements. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. How people respond to Jesus and his message will determine their destiny. Many of Jesus' contemporaries received the message and are saved. But the religious community, by and large, couldn't bring themselves to believe that Jesus could be God's Messiah. So Jesus became a stone that caused men to stumble and a rock that made them fall. That was spoken of in Isaiah 8, 14, 28, 16, Luke 20, 17, and 18, Romans 9, 33, and 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8. The second element is the fact that he stated, and for a sign that will be spoken against. Jesus is God's sign to his people, but he was rejected, he was spoken against. The third element was the thought that the many hearts would be revealed. And that verse seems to be in a negative sense. Those who stumble at Jesus, who reject him and oppose his message, will finally be shown up for what they are. Revealed is the Greek word from which we get our English word apocalypse. It means to cause something to be fully known, revealed, disclosed, bring to light. I mean, this will take place when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ. And the fourth element is that a sword will pierce your own soul too. Through the Holy Spirit, Simeon can see the deep anguish that Mary is going to feel as her son is rejected by the nation's leaders and ultimately crucified. And next we come to the prophetess Anna, Luke 2, 36 through 37. Simeon recognized Jesus as the Messiah, but so does an 84-year-old woman, the prophetess Anna, who was a pious fixture in the woman's court of the temple. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was old, a widow for many years, and for many years she dedicated her life to worship. So she did. She lived in the women's court of the temple day and night. And coming that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. We don't hear the words of her prophecy, but it probably, like Simeon's, consisted of inspired thanksgiving and speaking of the child to other people who were looking for the Messiah. Notice, though, that she didn't speak about Jesus to everybody, but particularly to those in the temple whom she knew also looked forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. The word redemption here focuses on the result, the experience of being liberated from an oppressive situation. And it was also used in Zechariah's prophecy in Luke 1:68. Like Simeon, who looked forward to the consolation or comfort of Jerusalem, Anna looked forward to a time in Jerusalem which would be free from Roman oppression. And that general thought caused some problems, because the Messiah was anticipated as coming as an avenging king who would free Israel. And starting in verse 39, so when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You know, there are some lessons in this scripture for us. I think we can learn from the passage things that will help us grow more closely and to follow Christ more closely. Number one, Jesus was raised in the context of strict observance of the law. Though he transcended the law, sometimes God places us in situations in which we are to live out our lives in service to him. One of the songs the praise team sang talked about serving the glory of God. Mary and Joseph provided a devout home in which the Christ child was raised. And in that sense, it set an example to parents everywhere how we should raise our children. The third lesson I think we can learn is that Jesus is presented to the Lord and consecrated to his parents even while he is a baby. I mean, I think we should be excited and looking forward to dedicate our children to God. And later, we pray out that they will live out the vows that we have said on their behalf, not only as parents, but as a congregation when we vow to help raise that child in the admonition of the Lord. Number four, God has his faithful people. Simeon and Anna here in the scripture were two of those faithful people. They played a role in the stage of Bible history that had very significant parts. And they were sensitive to God's voice and available when God called upon him, called upon them. I think that should be a lesson for us too. Number five, the Holy Spirit can speak to us and show us things that others cannot know or understand. And he promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. We're unlikely to hear God's voice unless we prepare ourselves to do so, especially by living in righteousness and devotion and taking the time to slow down, get quiet with God, and listen for his voice. Number six, devout people are full of praise, as were Simeon and Anna. Worshiping God is literally a full-time occupation. It fills my heart with great joy when we can come here together as a corporate body and sing praise and worship. To worship him through prayer, to worship him through his word, studying and listening. And number seven, I think Jesus' coming, I don't think it, I know it. It offers hope, light, and salvation to all people who will accept him and believe he was who he said he was. I mean, when we're really convinced of that, I don't think we're so shy to speak of him to others. The Lord provides opportunities for each of us to share the hope that is within us. The Lord provides opportunities for us to give a simple gospel message to others that are searching for the meaning of life. Because that is the meaning of life. There was a song that I heard by Casting Crowns this week. And in that song, there was a specific line that just struck me. That we need to make room in our hearts for Jesus to write his story. Not only on our own hearts, but on the hearts of others. Praise team, do you have a closing song?